We've been sharing how important humility is. Can't come into the kingdom of God, can't get born again until you yield and humble yourself and receive. Shared how humility means in the Latin dirt, or to be more specific, means to be low. Low to the ground, nearness to the ground. And we also shared how humility is probably one of the least preached things in the kingdom of God, but one of the most important things of a Christian's life. You have the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. We also mentioned how humility is the undergarment that is under the armor of God. And that just like we have underclothes and we put our regular clothes on, without humility, the armor of God will not function as God designed it to. So we're going to continue with how important humility is. Humility, Matthew 11, verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We share how the term yoke in the Jewish custom meant teaching. So if you look at that, verse 28 again, take my teaching upon you, and that's where learning comes in, and learn from me from what I teach you. And what you will learn from me is being gentle, lowly in heart. And this, as you incorporate it and allow the Holy Spirit to come into your spirit and change and renew your mind, will bring peace. The key to peace and rest is having a humble dependence upon the Lord. The more you depend upon the Lord, the more rest and peace you will have. My teaching is easy and my burden is light. Let's go to Matthew 18, please. Now get the landscape when Jesus came on the scene, how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were literally running the whole religious system. And their whole religious system was based upon pride and selfishness. Now, they didn't notice, but they were proud of their religion. They were proud of how religious they were. They were self-righteous because they were doing all of the law. And so here you have John the Baptist comes on the scene, Jesus calls him the greatest who was ever born. That statement lets you know that John the Baptist came on the scene living a life of humility. Because the principle is the humble will be the greatest in God's kingdom. It totally contradicted everything that had been going on at that time. John's whole life mission was for him to decrease and for Jesus to increase. That's a definition of humility. But not only that, when Jesus came on the scene, his ministry was totally opposite of all the teaching, all the examples that the religious people at that time were doing. You have Jesus, his whole teaching, he was getting from the Father. The Father's teaching was coming through Jesus, and the main emphasis of his teaching was a life of humility, a life that's totally dependent upon him. One of the definitions of humility is dependence upon God. Dependence, reliance, resting upon God. Now, Matthew 18, verse 1 reads, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" Now, we know that's a problem because they're thinking that this is a competition and that we are jockeying. All the disciples, the whole 3 years they were with Jesus, were arguing about who was the greatest, who was going to sit on his right hand, who was going to sit on his left hand. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, you cannot get born again. You cannot come into the kingdom. You cannot even grow when you get into the kingdom unless you have humility. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Now, what are the characteristics of a little child? And we're talking about a little child before they start getting indoctrinated by their parents. Little children are quick to forgive. They are teachable. They are carefree. They don't seek a position. They don't seek to be important. They don't seek authority. And they are totally dependent upon their parents, especially the mother. So here's Jesus. His whole ministry, and listen closely, his whole ministry, his whole teaching ministry, his whole miracle ministry, his whole example of living is to show forth humility. As believers, we must begin to see that we need to seek a life of humility. We all, as humans, have a propensity, we have a bent, we have a tendency to try to do things our way. to promote self, to be selfish. And Jesus said, basically, essentially, his kingdom is a kingdom of humility. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of humility, and it goes totally opposite of what the world is doing and what even most of the church is doing, even today. This lifestyle that he had, the teaching that he shared, is eventually what got him crucified. The Pharisees were embarrassed that he was living opposite and teaching opposite of what they were doing and teaching, that they had to get rid of him because the crowds were following him based upon a teaching that they did not agree with. Go to Matthew 23, please. Verse 1, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. Now, their teaching was accurate, but their example, their lifestyles, were going opposite of what they were teaching. He proceeds and says, for they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. That's pride, the total opposite. Now, Jesus is summing up their ministry, their motive to be seen of men. Pride's motive is always to get, to benefit self. Pride's motive is always to get in order to benefit self. Humility's motive is always to give in order to benefit others. That's a master thought. Humility's motive is always to give to benefit others. Everything that I'm endeavoring to do in my life, everything I'm endeavoring to say in my life, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to show me in a big detail way, my motive. Why am I doing that? Is it to be seen? Is it to get an advantage? Why am I saying that? Before I even say it, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what's my motive? Is it selfish? Or am I serving? Is my desire to serve someone else? Or is it for me to get something out of it? Flattery, speaking well of someone, can on the surface look like encouraging or praising someone. But the whole bottom line is, what's your motive for saying it? Why are you complimenting that person? Why are you giving them good, encouraging words? What's your motive? That's what we're going to be evaluated more than anything else in life. The Holy Spirit is forever judging our motives. One thing about it, if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to judge our motives, and if we don't judge our own motives, someone else will judge your motive. They may be wrong. Jesus continues on this theme of really rebuking the leadership. Verse 6, they love the best seats at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher and Christ, the Christ. You are our brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father. He's in heaven. Do not be called teacher, but the one is your teacher, the Christ. Here's where he gets to the root of everything. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, he's preaching this to the Pharisees, and they're missing the whole point. They probably didn't hear a word he said. The entire Sermon on the Mount was Jesus preaching a life of humility. All those several verses in the beginning was a progression of humility. The essential thought and entire essence of humility is the denial of self. Denial of you having your way. The denial of you being selfish, self-centered. A major principle of humility is to be low. The principle of humility is to be low. One writer said this, I used to think that God's gift, and this really changed my thought pattern. I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves one above the other. And that the taller we get in Christian character, the easier it would be to reach those gifts. I now find out that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath the other, and that it is not a question of growing taller, but of stooping lower, and that we have to go down, always down, to get his best gifts. Get that? It's not an issue of growing taller, but it's an issue of you allowing your life, your attitude, to go down, down, humility, near to the ground. That's the key to receiving God's gifts and allowing God's gifts to flow through you. One writer says, without humility, we keep all our defects, and they are only crushed over by pride, which conceals them from others and often from ourselves. This pursuit of humility is such a subtle thing that once you think that you've obtained humility, you're far from it. Because a lot of people are proud of being humble. In their own eyes, they think they're humble. And that's a tricky thing to be in that position. Number two, we said number one, the principle of humility is to be low. The paradox of humility is to be little. First Samuel 9. When God was looking for a king and the people wanted a king and they looked at Saul. Saul began to make errors in his leadership. And Saul answered, verse 21, 1 Samuel 9, 21. Saul answered and said, I am not a Benjaminite of the smallest of the tribes, and my family, the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin. Why then do you speak like this to me? In other words, when Samuel went to anoint Saul as king, Saul basically said, I'm not worthy. I come from the smallest tribe, an insignificant tribe. Why are you picking me? His humility was being shown then. Look at chapter 15. Chapter 15. Verse 17. And when Saul had sinned, and Samuel, by God's instruction, was stripping Saul from his kingdom, one of the things that Samuel said to him, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribe of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel when you were little in your own eyes? In other words, you didn't see yourself that important. You were humble. But now that you're full of pride, this is what's causing you to be stripped of your kingdom. One of the most difficult things to do as a believer is to constantly keep yourself in check in this area of pride versus humility. It's one of the most difficult things that you'll ever do as a believer because it's one of the most deceptive things. Pride is so deceptive. Little in your own eyes. Little in your own eyes. Next, the process of humility is to be less. Said the principle of humility is to be low. The paradox of humility is to be little. The process of humility is to be less. John 3, verse 23. Now, John also was baptizing because there were a little water and they came and they were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, And all the people are coming to him. They're leaving us. They're going to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven above is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. So you have this process. Now, in a analogy that really ministered to me, God really ministered to me with this analogy of this process of humility. In photography, if you're developing film, there's a developing solution. I'm sure you've all seen how they dip. So if you see that analogy, you can really begin to see the process of a believer growing. When you dip the film in the solution, the developing solution, it's developing as long as it's in that solution. You want that process to stop, you take it out of that solution. The developing solution for the believer is the solution of humility. As long as you stay in that solution, the image that you want to be displayed will be displayed clearly as you take it out of that solution at the right time. The image as a believer that the solution of humility will bring is the image of Christ in your life. As long as you stay in that developing solution, the closer you get to the image of Christ. Does that make sense? Yes, no, maybe. Most Christians take themselves out of the developing solution prematurely. Some never put themselves in it at all. But the key is allowing yourself to stay in that developing process by reading the scriptures, spending time fellowshipping with the Lord, spending your time around other strong believers whose iron sharpens iron and give counsel, wise counsel whenever possible. So the key to the process of developing is allowing yourself to stay in that solution. The next step, the perfection of humility is to be least. To be least. John 15. I am the, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that he bears, that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Here's a key to humility. Abide, abide, abide. In other words, be one with me. Remain intimate with me. Be intimate in fellowship and communion with me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of its own, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. You can't produce any fruit unless you abide in me. You stay close to me. You commune with me. You be intimate with me. You fellowship with me. That's dependence. That's the dependence that we're talking about. This is a parable of humility. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I abide in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We have to abide. We have to be in fellowship. We have to remain in communion with him. We're going to be intimate. We have to decide to be intimate. Can't allow anybody else to take that intimacy away from us.